All right, if you take your Bibles tonight, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings 20 and 2 Chronicles 32. We'll be referring to 2 Chronicles a couple of times, but mostly we will be in 2 Kings. So if you want to just we will first be in 2 Chronicles to give you a summary of what is going to be going on. There's more details in the 2 Kings portion, and that's the reason why we're using that this time. If you want to write this down, there's also a parallel passage of Scripture in Isaiah 39, verses 1 through 8. We'll be referring to some verses from there also. You don't have to turn there if you want to. I am going to be sharing one passage of Scripture from Isaiah 39 later in the message. But mostly, we'll be in 2 Kings chapter number 20. But we've been looking at the reign of King Hezekiah of Judah for the last several of our studies here in 2 Kings. And we've seen the revival under Hezekiah, how he immediately began to turn Judah back to the Lord after he assumed the throne of his father Ahaz. Scripture shows Hezekiah to be the godliest of the kings of Judah. And then we saw Hezekiah go up against Assyria, and how that, because he had returned the nation of Judah to the Lord, it brought the blessing of the Lord fighting the battle of Judah against Sennacherib. He didn't even have to lift a finger. God fought the battle for him. After losing 180,000 soldiers in one night, the Assyrian king figured it was time to go home. So he hurried back to Nineveh and left Judah and went there, and he was murdered by two of his own children. And so that's what happened to Sennacherib. Now, last week, we saw Hezekiah was very sick with a boil and was told by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah to get his affairs in order. He was about to die. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord that he might not die, and the Lord granted him a 15-year extension on his life. And that brings us to tonight. One might think that would have been a blessing, but we're about to see that those additional years brought problems rather than blessings. But it was Hezekiah's fault. It wasn't God's fault. Hezekiah allowed pride to take over in his life. Pride is a hurtful thing in one's life. Now, as I told you, we're going to begin in 2 Chronicles. There in 2 Chronicles 32, I want us to look at two verses here that kind of summarize the reason why these 15 years were not really good for it. It says in verse 25, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25, "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up." There's the pride. "Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." Now, it's not going to tell us the details of that instance right there. That's what we read right there about the pride, his pride, him turning away from that and humbling himself. That's the only place that we read about that. All right, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter number 20, and let's delve into the details of what went on. First of all, we see the flattery of a foreign king. The flattery of a foreign king. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 12. "At that time, Berodach-Baladan," I don't know if I got that right or not. Don't really care. Okay. He ought to have had a name like Jim or Joe or something like that if he wanted me to pronounce his name right. But he was the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, "sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick." Now here we see the Babylonian king of that time sent ambassadors. No, they were spies. Hezekiah, they're spies. Be careful. They were spies posing as ambassadors. They came with letters and a present to Hezekiah because he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. What a nice gesture, right, from a foreign king. Only thing is Babylon was battling to have world supremacy at the same time as Syria was. In fact, they were going head to head, and he was kind of like, well, you know, this kind of helped me out. He kind of took care of Assyria for me, and let's see what they have there. Now, the phrase there, at that time, means that this happened when Hezekiah had been sick and was healed. So immediately we can see that Hezekiah's problems began, even though we will see that he was oblivious to what was happening. It's kind of like, get a clue, Hezekiah, of what's happening here. We're not told what was in the letters, but I want you to think along the lines of a great Hallmark greeting card, okay, congratulating him for his recovery from his most recent sickness and his success against the Assyrian king. You know, you can just about hear the flowery language of appreciation to Hezekiah. He's being set up as what's happening here. It says, at this time, Babylon and Nineveh, they were two great cities that were competing for supremacy in the then known world. Babylon was on the rise. Assyria was beginning to fade. Babylon eventually conquered Assyria and became the next world empire during the days of Nebuchadnezzar and his son Nebuchadnezzar. Now, there's a name we know and can pronounce. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the one that the Lord used to carry his people into the 70-year captivity. But that would still be a number of years later, but important intelligence was being gathered by these ambassadors. Spies, Hezekiah, they're spies. he didn't understand that. So we can see where this was headed, but unfortunately Hezekiah didn't. Hezekiah was so flattered that this strange king from a strange country was taking an interest in his health and well-being that he couldn't see he was being played. Yeah? He was being played. Here's a good principle to learn. Be careful of flattery. He was being flattered, is what was happening here. The psalmist David had this to say about his enemies in Psalm 5, verse 9. He said, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. That's what the enemy does. They'll flatter with their tongue. Still happens today, doesn't it? Foreign leaders, they'll try to buddy up if they want something. Now, they'll butter you up and use flowery language. While they're your friend, you better look out. That knife is going to probably be coming at your back. David also had this to say about those who use flattery for advantage. In Psalm 12 and verse 2, he said, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. Solomon also penned some words in the book of Proverbs about flattery. In Proverbs 26 and verse number 28, it says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Listen. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. Well, the flattering mouth was going to try to work ruin in the kingdom of Judah, and we will see years later they did accomplish that. That's what's happening here. But that ruin would come to Judah and to Hezekiah's house after his days. So we see the flattery of a foreign king. Second of all, we see in verse 13, 2 Kings 20, verse 13, we see the foolishness of the flattered king. The foolishness of the flattered king. Look at verse 13. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasury, There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Hezekiah was so flattered by the attention of these ambassadors. They're not ambassadors, they're spies, Hezekiah. He was so flattered that he showed them all his riches. Now, how foolish can you be? Well, pretty foolish if you fall for flattery, like which Hezekiah did. Understand that it was customary for Eastern kings to amass great quantities of treasure merely for show. I mean, what good is treasure if you can't either spend it or show it? You know, if you got nothing to spend it on, you want to show it, right? And some kings, including Hezekiah, had such immense treasures that it took great buildings to house them. Listen, this was a matter of pride. It was a matter of pride with foreign kings. It was a matter of pride with Hezekiah here. And this is the pride, I believe, that the scriptures were telling us of over in 2 Chronicles. Flip back over to 2 Chronicles for just a moment. 2 Chronicles 32, and let's take a look at verse 27 through 31. Verse 27 says, "And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors," spies, they're spies, okay, "in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart." So God allowed this to happen. I mean, Hezekiah wanted to fall into a trap. The Lord was going to allow him to do that. Look at Isaiah 39 if you want to. Isaiah 39, and the key word here that we want to take a look at has Isaiah 39, verse number 2. It says, "And Hezekiah was glad of them," talking about the ambassadors, no, the spies, okay, just the spies. "Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them in the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not." So that word glad means he rejoiced. He was rejoicing at these spies that came as ambassadors. Pride. He was glad to have somebody to show everything to. You can just see him, can't you? Can't you see Hezekiah going from room to room, going from building to building? Hey, I forgot to show y'all this. And he'd run over to another area of the kingdom. He was showing everything in all his dominion. Pride. We've already seen pride in Uzziah's life. But here we see pride in Hezekiah's life. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride shall bring him low." but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Well, Hezekiah had been blessed of the Lord with much treasure, but he was so proud about what he had that he showed all of it to the ambassadors, which were spies. These ambassadors of Babylon, which reported back to their king. And that's some great information to have when you go to invade a land, which I'm sure they made note of and used it 150 years later when Babylon invaded. Now, we see next the probing of the prophet. The probing of the prophet. 2 Kings 20 and verse number 14 and 15. Says, then came Isaiah, the prophet, unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they're from a far country, even from Babylon. He was proud of that fact. And you notice how he answered that one question and didn't answer the other? He didn't answer what said these men. He didn't tell Isaiah. It's not that Isaiah didn't know already. God had already showed Isaiah what had happened. And this is not good information. He asked these questions not because he didn't know the answers to them already, but I think he asked them to have Hezekiah's own mouth show his foolishness. And so we see he answered that one question. They're from a far country, even Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? Well, Hezekiah admits to the prophet that he showed these men everything. Now, do you think that by these questions and listening to his own answers that Hezekiah might have figured out pretty quick that he messed up? Might have. Now, we see the fallout from the failure. The fallout from the failure. 2 Kings 20 and verse number 16. Look at what it says here. Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. This is not Hezekiah. This is not Isaiah. This is the Lord that's put these words in Isaiah's mouth. Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now that did happen in the days of Jeremiah, in the days of Daniel. Okay? That happens. I mean, it's later on, but it happened. Look at verse number 18. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The fallout from the failure here is this. Primarily for his pride that was involved in the failure, all the treasures he had laid up for Judah, going to be in a foreign land. His sons that would rule after him would be carried away into Babylon along with all those treasures. He would beget sons. Think descendants. Sons includes grandsons. Okay? Boom, boom, boom. He would beget sons that Babylon would carry into captivity who would become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The sons mentioned here would be his great-grandsons as the Babylonian captivity is still about 125 years. I said 150, but it's about 125 years away from this point. Now, one thing I take issue with Hezekiah, I take a lot of issue with him, but the next thing that he states, we see this, his self-centered statement in verse number 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? What? He wasn't concerned about his family. He wasn't concerned about his sons and his grandsons. He's only concerned about himself. He doesn't appear even the least bit concerned for the anguish that he has brought on his descendants by his actions. He only seems to care about his own days. And I got to thinking about this, and I wonder if that is why we see what we see in Manasseh. We're going to get into Manasseh's life next week. Manasseh becomes the worst king. Hezekiah was the best to rule in Judah. His son Manasseh is going to undo all the good things that his dad did. Can you imagine that maybe he caught wind of what his dad said to Isaiah here? And he's like, well, dear old dad didn't care, did he? Well, I don't care. And boom, away he goes. We see the death of Hezekiah and the ascension of his son Manasseh to the throne of Judah. Look at verse 20 and 21. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Now, the book of Chronicles has this to say about this incident. He says in verse 33, Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, understand, was born 3 years after the extension of Hezekiah's life. If Hezekiah had died, Manasseh would not have been there. Well, that's right. Hezekiah's son, born 3 years after the Lord extended his life, Manasseh would reign after his father's death, undo all the his father's good in the land of Judah, increased the amount of anger of the Lord against Judah. I mean, the Lord's already mad at him because of his pride. And he's upset here about that. I mean, otherwise he had been a great king up to that point. But he let his pride get the best of him. And this is going to have repercussions. And we're going to see the extreme wickedness of this one called Manasseh. And by extreme wickedness, I mean extreme wickedness. And we've seen some bad stuff already in some of the kings, right? But you ain't seen nothing yet when Manasseh takes the throne. Yeah, he's going to do bad like some of the others did, but he goes beyond them. He's going to bring forth much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke the Lord to anger. And this is all going to lead up to the Judah being carried away into captivity, not during his days, but it's going to come. 125 years after Hezekiah. All right? Well, that's our Bible study for this evening. And just remember what I said about flattery. Amen. Very important. If you feel yourself being flattered, you need to, a light needs to go off. What's going on here? Yeah? That's right. Especially if it's from the enemy. Yeah. All right, let's pull out our prayer list and we'll pray for the needs and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.